From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host, Peter Sagal.
Thanks, Carl. Now, we've given everybody else the week off, and we've taken over the show entirely, which is interesting because we actually don't know how to work this equipment. For example, if I push this... That's awful. Anyway, this week we're talking about what we're most thankful for. And by bizarre coincidence, it's all stuff from recent episodes of Wait, Wait. I never saw that coming. Kerry O'Connor, what are you most thankful for?
I am, as all, we all are, most thankful for Paula Poundstone, and most especially for a bluff she did about a special program for children who are away at college who need to send messages back to their parents.
Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Sarah Worthen, and I'm calling from Ridgecrest, California.
Ridgecrest, California?
Yeah.
I've been to many places in California, but not there. Where's that?
We're over 100 miles from Bakersfield.
You're 100 miles from Bakersfield?
Yeah.
So is that out like we're in the desert, in the eastern desert of California?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
wow. Mojave Desert.
Mojave Desert. And what do you do there?
I look for work.
Girl.
This is just a crazy notion, but if you're looking for a job, shouldn't you go to where there are people?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Sarah. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Sarah's topic?
Time for school.
It's the fall. A lot of kids are going to college either for their first time or maybe to return. And it is exciting for them because we found out something that is going to make this the best year ever for one group of lucky students. Guess the real campus upgrade and you'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine or voicemail, whatever you may have. You ready to play?
Yep.
Let's hear first from Adam Felber.
Overflow housing can be a total drag. Sometimes freshmen get packed in 3 to a room or foisted off into some nearby dingy motel with a Yelp rating of -3 stars. But if you're one of 30 students at Columbus, Ohio's Capital University, your overflow housing this year will be slightly less of a drag as you move into rooms at Fort Rapids, Central Ohio's largest indoor water park. Forget the stuffy academics over at nearby Zambezi Bay. Fort Rapids has it all. Students will get free access to frolic on all 3 major slide complexes, plus the 30-person hot tub. Dude, you will barely be able to make time for it all, not to mention the studying. Sadly, the awesome-tacularity will come to an end before the holidays, as Capital University is expecting to have enough dorm space by then, and then the party will be over. At least until next year's overflow housing, in well-appointed rooms just above Barney's Burgers, Beer, and Baberama!
Capital University in Ohio housing students in a water park. Your next story of a reason to celebrate going back to class comes from Kerry O'Connor.
Francis McGinnis surveyed his cafeteria tray. Salt baked beetroot with burrata? Check. Onion tart with baby leeks and goat curd? Check. And the cafeteria worker dishing it up? Celebrity Uber chef Gordon Ramsay. Welcome to Southwestern University, where the students aren't lured just by the pretty campus and small classes, but by the 5-star cuisine. It's a new generation, says Dean Bob Wiltenberg with a shrug. You can't schedule English Comp 101 at 8 a.m. And you can't serve mystery meat. In addition to bringing in a rotating cast of TV star chefs, the school offers round-the-clock artisanal coal-fired pizza delivery, high-end cronuts in the dorm lobbies, and kombucha and cupcake happy hours. Remember, said the dean, these kids have grown up in the foodie culture. Chefs like Ramsay are their folk heroes. We had Hunter Thompson. They have Mario Batali.
Gourmet food. From Gordon Ramsay being churned up at Southwestern University, your last story of an exciting development at school comes from Paula Poundstone.
College is a busy time when, in addition to academic studies, many students are discovering who they are, where they fit into the larger world, and how to do their own laundry. Successful scheduling requires prioritizing, and sometimes parents don't make the cut. University of Puget Sound in Tacoma, Washington, offers their students tools for managing those pesky parental relationships through their advisor programs. The advisor's office sends an array of customized form correspondence to the student's parents. The students choose from a list of messages for text. A, love you. B, thriving in this academic environment. C, you were right about everything. Instagram photos. A, I'm the one in the way, way back. B, that's me in the football gear. C, I'm Asian now. Handwritten notes, birthday cards, financial requests. I'm going to need another $2,000 because A, I guess I've been going to Starbucks more than I realized. B, I have a gambling addiction, but I'm handling it on my own. You'd be proud of me. C, just send it. I don't want to worry you. Students seem really happy with the results. The student-parent relationships have really been strengthened by the tools, and the parents have no idea that the students aren't actually writing the notes. Most parents have never seen their child's handwriting, so that works for us. I liked it, says student Cole Massiero. There were some problems, like now they're coming to see me play football and I don't play football. But I'll talk to my advisor about it. She could send maybe some injury tweets.
So, here are your choices. One of these things is really happening at a university somewhere in this great country. At Capital University in Ohio, students are being housed, yay, in a water park with all-access passes. From Kyrie O'Connor, students at Southwestern University are getting gourmet food in the cafeteria. Or from Paula, at the University of Puget Sound, the university is helping kids communicate correctly and fruitfully with their own parents. Which one is the real story from the news this week?
I'm going to say A.
You're going to go with Adam's story about the kids in the water park.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good to me, too, as a former college student. Well, to find out the correct answer, we spoke to someone involved in the real story.
They do get free access to the indoor water park on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well done. You were correct. You, in fact, picked the correct story. Adam had that true one. You have earned a point for Adam just because he was truthful and convincing. But you've also won our game. In fact, you will have Carl's voice in your home voicemail. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you. Take me down to the waterfall so I can wash my mind clean. Take me down to the waterfall so I can just be me. Take me down to the waterfall.
Okay, now it's my turn. One of the things I'm most grateful for is the time we talked to children's author Jack Gantos. This was back in January of 2012, and Jack had just won the Newbery Medal for his new book, Dead End in Norvelt. But that's not what we ended up talking about. Is this book autobiographical? We can only assume, since the character is named after you and growing up, where you grew up, when you grew up there.
Yeah. All those three things point to autobiographical.
Yeah, they would. We referred to the drug smuggling. Can you tell us that story?
Yes. I was on my own in 12th grade. I lived in a welfare motel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And then I was going to go to college to write books, but I drove up to University of Florida. It looked just like my high school, a giant football facility with a small academic institution like a tent. So I decided not to go and write novels in St. Croix in the Virgin Islands. And I could work all day and drink all night, but I didn't feel fulfilled until I ran into these really nice British guys who had a boat with 2,000 pounds of hashish on it, and they said, "We're looking for a nice kid." I said, "I'm nice." They said, "We'll give you $10,000 to sail it to New York." That's 4 years of private school back then. I said, sure. I didn't know how to sail. I ran aground in the harbor. But
meaning the harbor leaving or the harbor arriving?
Both, actually. We got to New York. We docked it. And then we used to sell them. We would put big duffel bags full of hashish in stolen shopping carts and go through the streets of New York City and deliver them to apartments.
This sounds like the perfect crime, Jack. I can't imagine how you ever got caught.
Yeah, well, you should have seen the surveillance
photos. Wait a minute. You are pushing a stolen shopping cart down the streets of New York with a duffel bag filled with hashish. And I'm imagining you running across another young woman doing the same thing, and you're like, "Hello, who are you?" And she's like, "I'm Judy Blume. Who are you?" And I'm like... And you're like, "Maybe we'll meet again someday at the Newbery Awards."
Well, the whole thing was rigged from the beginning because the British guys used American counterfeit money to buy the hashish in Morocco, and then the Secret Service got involved because there was all that bad money floating around. So they followed the boat, and then once I got on it, then they had aerial surveillance of the boat across the Atlantic Ocean, and so they had been watching it all along. All they were waiting to do was catch everybody. So then once we sold all the hashish, I moved into the Chelsea Hotel, a fine establishment for any writer.
Yeah.
And
no drugs there.
And then after that, I got paid. I got $10,000 in $10 bills. God, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then the FBI came in, the Secret Service came in, the customs officers came in, and I went out the back window of the Chelsea Hotel, but the guy who owned the boat went down to the lobby. He got popped, and I made it to the train station and took a train down to Florida.
Now, did they pay you in fake money?
You know, I never knew.
All right. So this is the most exciting interview we've ever had. So you're in the train.
I'm on the train.
Everybody's after you.
I dye my hair in one of those little train bathrooms.
No, really? So you're down there, you're dyeing your hair. There's a soundtrack. Bum, 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 bum. And then what happens?
I got a rash. And then...
What's so amazing is I can so see the trajectory that leads from this to children's literature. But go on, So you're in the train, you're dyeing your hair, you have a rash now, you have blonde hair and a rash.
I go back to the welfare motel, which was run by Davy Crockett's great-great-granddaughter.
Where? This is in Florida?
In Florida.
In Florida, of course.
She had his wallet in her bra. And at any rate, that's another story. So at any rate, I called home. I thought, maybe I should call home. So I called my father, and he said, where the H are you? He said, I've got the FBI parked in the driveway. They're reading our mail and tapping our phones. And I said, I'm at a pizza parlor. And from there, I got an attorney. Now, don't do this. My attorney, honest to God, was Alfred E. Newman.
Wait a minute. I love that you've gotten this far in the story before telling us, now don't do this, kids. You can smuggle the hashish. You can flee.
But if you hire a fictional character,
here's where I don't want you to be like me.
And so, at any rate, so I go to court, I dress up, I look nice, and the judge, you know, asks me if I have anything to say for myself. I go... I'm guilty, Your Honor, but I'm a very nice boy. And he looks at me and he says, nice boys don't smuggle dope. And I was like, oh, you got me there.
I mean, how did you then become an award-winning children's author?
Well,
oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time. No, I kid. I'm genuinely curious how you go from prison to there.
Well, there is a little bit of work in between there, the transitional period. So at any rate, I always liked children's literature, and so I started writing picture books. And I wrote the Rotten Ralph books, and then I took them to the publisher when I was a sophomore in college, still on parole, and and started placing picture books out there in the world. And then finally what happened is I started writing more novels. And I started winning some awards, National Book Award, nominee, and a Newbery Honor for the Joy Pigza books. And I felt like I had a little bit of armor. So then I thought, well, this is the drug smuggling story. It's good. You know it's good. So I wrote that.
Now, we heard, I don't know if this is true, but we were looking into you, and there is a rumor that when you were running up and down the streets of New York in your shopping cart, that you buried about $5,000 worth of hashish in Central Park. Is that true?
That is.
It is true. Is it still there?
I wasn't going to tell you that.
Is it there? No.
Well, Jack Gantos, we've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Oh, darling, take me in your arms.
You write very well for kids and young adults, but when people get older, their tastes change, and many then turn to romance novels. We're going to ask you three questions about those saucy novels, and if you get two right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their voicemail.
Oh, boy.
Carl, who is Jack Gantos playing for?
Jack is playing for Eli Barnes of Madison, Wisconsin.
First question. Over the years, Harlequin Romance, the big imprint, has developed a number of specialty lines of romance novels for particular tastes, including which of these? A, Harlequin NASCAR, B, Harlequin Survivalist, or C, Harlequin Democrat?
Okay, let's see. What's the most romantic there? Democrat? Nope. survival? Or I go with NASCAR.
You're going to go with NASCAR. You're right. Romance novel author Susan Anderson had to apologize for a typo that changed the meaning of a line in one of her books. Was it A, that the hero was not, quote, desperately in need of a little late-night cookie? B, the couple did not, in fact, make sweat love? Or C, the line she had written as, quote, she felt his muscles loosen as he shifted on the ground came out much differently when the printer got a letter wrong.
You know, all three of them are pretty graphic.
It is true.
I have to go with the last one. Yeah.
The line that she wrote as she felt his muscles loosen as he shifted on the ground came out quite differently.
Yes.
That's right. That's what happened. She had to write it. She had to post in her blog a rather exercised apology for that typo. All right, you're doing very well. Here's your last one. Romance novels cater to all tastes, which is why one bookseller is offering which of these sets of romance novels with a similar theme. A, the airport security bundle, including Love at First Flight and The Jet Set Seduction. B, the Hot Hot Kitchen collection, including The Long Order Cook and Turkey with Extra Stuffing. Or C, the Nerd Box, including Erotic Robotics and The Empire Strokes Back.
I got to tell you, because I already pulled it together for Eli here, so
yes,
now I don't have to even think. So I'm going for the Nerd Box.
You're going for the Nerd Box. I wish there was a Nerd Box of romance novels, but it was really the airport security bundle, of course. It's a strange theme. Carl, how did Jack do in our quiz?
Well, enough to win, Peter. He had two answers, so Jack, you win for Eli Barnes.
Well done. Congratulations. Jack Annos' book, Dead End in Norvell, just won the 2012 Newbery Medal. Jack Annos, thank you so much for joining us. And what a great time talking to you. Thank you.